We move on now to State Senate Seat J, also in Anchorage. We're going to go first to the incumbent Democrat, Bill Wilikowski. Thank you, Mr. Wilikowski, for joining us. And I'll give you a minute to just introduce yourself, and then we'll talk.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Bill Wilikowski. It's been an honor to serve Mountain View, Muldoon, and Russian Jack for the last 4 years. During that time, I've had the privilege and honor to be the co-chair of the Joint Armed Services Committee for those 4 years, working hard to protect our military bases, our missile defense sites, and also promoting and supporting our troops and our veterans. And I've also had the opportunity to be the co-chair of the Resources Committee and also a member of the Resources Committee for 4 years, co-chair for 2 years, where we've dealt with many of the real critical issues for our state, ACES, AGEA. I've been big supporters of those. I think they're both working. If you look at ACES, we've got $12 billion in savings that have resulted from the passage of that bill. And it's been an honor to serve in the legislature, and I look forward to another several years. Thank you.
You've mentioned that you would oppose those people who are attempting to roll back the advances that have been made on AGEA. Could you elaborate a little bit more and talk about why you defend the process as it stands now?
I know, you know, AGEA was, when we passed it, passed overwhelmingly, passed, I think, 58 or 59 to 1. There's been some backpedaling since then, but if you look at what's happened since we've passed the bill, you know, as a state, we went 30 years with no progress on a gas pipeline. We passed AGEA, we started to pass AGEA, and all of a sudden we had every major producer on the North Slope wanting to build a gas pipeline. Right now, we have every major producer wanting to build a gas pipeline. Two major groups, BP and Conoco with Denali, and Exxon and TransCanada with TC Alaska. And we have two open seasons going on right now. I think that's been a success. We know we have major bidders who've bid gas into the pipeline. We'll find out the results in a couple of months, but I'm very optimistic that at this point.
And we've heard through that process that some of the bidders did obviously make offers, but they also came with some concessions or some strings attached. What do you anticipate having to deal with in the next session in order to alleviate some of those concerns and actually perhaps see the pipeline become a reality?
I think this is going to be one of the if not the biggest issue of the next upcoming session is how do we deal with the gas pipeline. And yeah, we've known there'll be condition bids. We've expected that. And the question is, what are the conditions and what is the state willing to do to accommodate those conditions? I expect some of the conditions will be requests for fiscal certainty, and we'll debate that. You know, we had lots of debates during the passage of AGEA on whether or not this was an economical line. And by what we were told by the experts, independent experts from all over the world, said this is an extremely economical line, extremely profitable line. So this will be a big issue next session. I think it will be the dominant issue of the session is what are we willing to give up to get that line? And hopefully we won't give up too much because it's important that for Alaska's future that we get our fair share from that resource.
Do you think it's appropriate that the bids remain secret to the state and that the state is spending a lot of money in investment toward that line, is a stakeholder? There's been some criticism about the secrecy with which those bids have taken place. Is that an appropriate stance? Should that have been refined differently? Is the public owed more information at this point?
I think the public deserves as much information as we can possibly get, particularly with the state as a major investor in the line. I think the concern was at the time, and it certainly remains to this day, is if you force TransCanada to disclose the terms, that puts them at a competitive disadvantage. And I think it actually hurts the gas pipeline. So I think, you know, the legislature debated this at the time. We did it the way we did it. We actually expected that the results would have been made public by the time of the election. Unfortunately, they were not, and they will not. But I certainly see the rationale behind keeping them. There would be a competitive disadvantage, I believe, for TransCanada.
And another topic we often hear come up, and it's come up again, is property tax relief. Mm-hmm. What more can be done to provide relief to homeowners?
When we got into office, that was one of the promises that I had made was I would support property tax relief. And the first year we were in office, we passed a bill to reinstate municipal revenue sharing. We had municipal revenue sharing when we had $8 a barrel oil. We've got $75 a barrel oil now, and we should have property tax relief that comes from that. We should have municipal revenue sharing that comes from that. The bill that we passed for municipal revenue sharing alone provides about $300 worth of property tax relief. But we've passed other pieces of legislation. For instance, the state has picked up retirement costs for local communities. In Anchorage alone, that amounts to about $1,000 worth of property tax relief. The capital budget this year, it was large, But that resulted in savings of thousands of dollars. Every dollar the state provides to the local communities is a dollar less that property taxpayers have to pay. So we've done quite a bit. There's more to do. I support a bill that would increase property tax exemption from $20,000 to $50,000. That would provide another $455 worth of property tax relief.
Okay, I don't mean to cut you off, but we're out of time. You have 1 minute to give a closing statement.
Thank you. Again, my name is Bill Wilikowski. It's been an honor to serve and to fight for your interests in the state Senate for the last 4 years. When I ran 4 years ago, I promised that I would fight for working families. I sponsored legislation to increase the minimum wage, the first increase that we've had in 7 years. I fought hard against increases, attempts by NSTAR to increase your natural gas prices. We successfully won several of those battles. I introduced price gouging legislation that would ban price gouging for gasoline. I've also promised you that I would fight for jobs and training in East Anchorage, and I supported and pushed for a new jobs training center, which was built in Mountain View several years ago. I also passed legislation that will create thousands of jobs all across Alaska. I promised you that I would support property tax relief, and I've supported legislation that provides over $1,000 per year in property tax relief. I promised that I would support local infrastructure projects, and we've done that. Muldoon Road, DeBar Road, fire stations, parks, schools. I'm Bill Wilikowski. It would be an honor to have your vote in August and November. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Senator Wilikowski, the incumbent candidate for Anchorage Senate seat J. Challenging him in the general will be Ron Slepecki, a Republican candidate for the primary, running unopposed, Anchorage Senate seat J. Mr. Slepecki, first of all, I hope I'm pronouncing your last name correctly, and if not, please correct me. Introduce yourself, please.
My name is Ron Slepecki. I've lived in Alaska for 15 years, probably would have been longer. It's been a lifelong dream of mine from the time I was a child, but I spent 20 years serving my country in the United States Air Force, retired from the Air Force in 1998, and in 1999 moved and made my home state Alaska, and have been here with my family ever since, except for a short deployment before I fully was separated from government service. And then we took a trip back in 2005 to take my son back to college. That turned into a tragedy. We lost my son. That was a tough time for all of us, but then we returned back to Alaska. We're back here to stay. I love Alaska. We've got to do something to change the direction of government, get the private sector back in control, the miracle of our country, the miracle that will move things in a way that is going to help our citizens and help Alaska for many years to come.
Now, one of the things you've talked about is eliminating unsustainable social programs. In your estimation, what right now is the state providing for that it shouldn't be or that it can't sustain over time?
One of the things, for instance, is just the public retirement systems. Recently, there's been an initiative where there's been a change from doing a certain benefit to instead doing a certain contribution. In other words, you give a defined contribution instead of a defined benefit. The problem with a defined benefit is that we can't predict the future. We have no idea what the future holds. And so trying to just set some target on what we're going to give, say, to a person who is in the fire department all their life and they retire with a salary of $120,000 and their defined benefit is $90,000. Well, it would take at 10% out of a person's pay, that would take somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 14 people to pay for that. That's the first generation. Now you ratchet that up to the next generation. Now you're up into literally dozens and dozens and dozens, over 100 people that would have to. That's not sustainable.
You've also mentioned that you're against redistributing wealth and more specifically supporting people who are able to work but aren't working. How do you see that playing out in Alaska and in particular in Alaska's rural communities, which really rely on a lot of federal dollars and state dollars coming in supporting the services that they have?
Absolutely. To say that a person doesn't want to work is a slap in the face to our native people. They want to work. They're a great culture. They're a beautiful people, and it's proven by them and their background and culture and sustaining themselves through subsistence over years and all the different wonderful crafts and things that we see when we tour the museums. They are a wonderful culture. They want to work. But what's been proven is that the villages are shrinking about 9% every year. And because of that, they cannot be sustained by subsistence alone. There has to be jobs that are provided. And we're a natural resource state. And so because of that, those jobs are going to inevitably come from natural resources. And so we have to be able to open up transportation hubs and provide for those jobs and be reasonable about providing for them a future so that they can sustain their lifestyle.
And by subsistence, you meant financial subsistence, not
no, I meant literally to fishing and hunting alone is not going to sustain anyone in the village. They need more than that.
Okay, and how would that same philosophy apply then to Alaska's urban centers, where I believe that your campaign website states that you are against providing money for people who are able to work but aren't working. So what would you eliminate locally that might be programs that are currently in place?
Again, it's not about eliminating programs. It's about enabling job creation. Job creation is the only thing that is going to give those folks hope. We're seeing, for instance, in our southern states, jobs be turned over to those that are outside. We're seeing that in our own state, that we've got outsiders coming in and taking jobs from equally qualified Alaskans, just for instance, because maybe they're a union member and because that the federal government has specified on the military installation that a job has to be complied by a union job. Over the last 3 years, 20% of our union labor in Alaska has been done by outside workers of this state. And that means that there's equally qualified Alaskans that are sitting that don't have a job.
Okay, very, very good. Thank you for the clarification. We're out of time. You do have 1 minute for a closing statement.
I'm Ron Slepecki. I love Alaska. I've wanted to live here ever since I've been a child. We live here now. I raised my family here. My boys started here in school. They graduated from school. They both went off to college on scholarships. They've done well in life. I spent 20 years in the United States Air Force. I also have been a principal of an elementary school for 3 years. We built a building for $9.1 million that it would have taken the state $30 million to build. We did things in that school that were miraculous. The math scores were tremendous when we put an emphasis on picking and choosing the right curriculums and putting an emphasis on teachers. I'd love to have your vote in the primary, but also in the general election. I think I can bring energy of taking out of the way government and bringing to bear the private sector and the miracle of the growth of America and for Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. I got it right the first time and now I screwed up. Ron Slepecki, the Republican challenger for Anchorage Senate seat J. We will be taking a short break. Please join us for more candidate interviews when we return.